fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get delicious Kroger pasta sauce or pasta for 99 cents each with your card. Then get tender, fresh Tyson boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KL. Recording kind of early in the morning for me, so I may be a little lazy. Not having any drinks at this time. So hopefully it'll still be fun for everybody listening. And we got a long 14-fight card here after having a week off after the Sphere. Sphere was dope. What'd you think of the Sphere, Alex?
Amazing. Wish I was there. I wish we got the tickets. I wish we just listened and sacked up. That was a great opportunity that we missed. But it was still good to watch.
Yeah, it looked very good. Did you guys buy the pay-per-view? I actually did this time.
I played the fifth.
Okay. Yeah, it's. I mean, you could have gone somewhere to watch it. I guess the way I should have asked was, like, did you see the great version? Because, yeah, if you're at a restaurant watching it or something, right, you're not seeing the good version. So, dude, it was high level. Like, I bought it, and I think they were doing, like, 1080p or whatever it is. Like, they're not doing, like, the normal streaming of it. It was high resolution, and it looked fucking awesome. I kind of wish I was watching it at my house on my 65-inch. But I was at my neighbor's watching it on his little 32 inch because, you know, we just did it like that, I guess, but kind of fucked up there, but it was incredible, man. It looked like Mortal Kombat levels and stuff. It was dope. So really enjoyed that. Did not see Merab winning like that, but I guess that's how he wins. I know you called that. I did have Shevchenko. Didn't know it was going to be that boring. And, yeah, just some good fights all around. Diego Lopes looked good. I was surprised, even though I picked him, really surprised by Ribovic's performance. He looked great. So that's a guy to keep an eye on, man. It's going to be a fun. And then Yasmin Yaryui, man, we got to admit, she sucks. She sucks. She is not a good fighter. Second time.
Yeah, we overrated her.
Yeah, dude. I mean, she's highly overrated. I understand, like, she's got good technique, but they talk about this Mexican chin. She does not have a Mexican chin. She's got, like, a Canadian chin or something. It's not working for her. So yeah, never betting on her is a big favorite again. Had Denise Gomes the first time, big fan of Denise Gomes, but yeah, just not what I was expecting for that one. And then Raul Rosas kind of looked shitty too, to be honest. Anything you want to get into before we roll into this card? We got, like I said, 14 fights. One was just added like Sunday or Saturday. And that's Lapolis and Morales.
What I'm going to say is a lot of people lost a lot of money last week. So when you're unconfident on a card, guys, just bet less fights. You don't have to force action. Just bet what you're confident in. My most confident pick last week was Shevchenko. Hammered her. And sometimes it's just all about hitting those small, confident spots, you know, and avoiding all these close decisions. And you kind of want to dodge some of these opportunities. And this is one of those weeks where I'm going to be dodging a lot of weird opportunities and scary fights. But with that being said, there's a couple spots I like as well.
Yeah, I like a few dogs on this card, actually. I think this is a fairly easy card. I'm very confident in the main event where I'm going to be.
Ooh.
Very confident. But I'm excited. Yeah, I wish that we had Jared's picks. I wonder if he can send them in to us. You want to text him real quick and ask him while I'm writing this stuff down? Just ask him if he can send his picks. If he doesn't have methods, just take his money lines or whatever he's willing to put out there if he's got them. But just getting this shit here together, and then we'll roll into it. I will take the first fight of the night, as I usually do. And you know, it's a pretty cool matchup, I think. I don't think there's any really bad fights on this card. First fight of the night, Bellagiocchi versus Chris Duncan. Chris Duncan's a dog here, I think, still at this point, and might be climbing to a bigger dog. I actually like him here, though. Like, I think that Duncan is – people shit on him for some reason. I think he's actually really good. And I know Bellagiocchi's coming in. He's kind of, you know, the new guy at this weight class here. But, I mean, Timmy Kwamba – I don't really care too much about that win. Dylan Salvador, I'd never heard of this dude before. This is who Oki fought on the Contender Series. I don't remember that performance, to be honest, so it probably wasn't too crazy. He did get the first round knockout. But I think Duncan's just going to have the counter strike, and I think he's going to be there to just kind of take advantage of Oki's more wild style. And Duncan will come through clutch here, I think. But it'll probably be a decision. So give me Duncan decision for the first fight of the night. What you got?
I agree with you on the over. I like that pick, actually. I do agree with you that there's value on Duncan as well. I think the line's a little bit wide here. Minus 200 on Oki.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with the over here. I do think that we see this fight go in the distance. Bookies also agree. With that being said, this all depends on whether or not Duncan can get takedowns, in my opinion. I got to disagree with you. I don't think Duncan can win minutes on the feet against Oki. I think we're going to see a lot of clinching. We're going to see a lot of positions, stalemate positions. We're going to see this in this fight. And I think that's the only way that we see this fight get extended. I think Duncan can get hurt on the feet. I think it's going to be slow paced because they do both have more of a Counter-Strike style. So I think it could be a little bit slow paced on the feet, but I think that jab of Oki's going to get through. I think that's going to be the minute winner here. I'm going to go Oki decision, but I obviously do not see any value on this. If I'm going to have any bet on this, it's going to be on the over 1.5, maybe even the over 2.5.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, you got Oki and you're going decision.
Correct.
Perfect. We'll see what Jared has. Once he sends him in, I can just rattle them off at the end here, but you got the first chick fight of the night. That's usually you, I think. You get a lot of the girl fights. But yeah, we got Nora
Cornell. I'm pretty hot with the girl fights. Huh? When I'm losing these girl fights, it's usually by like a split decision, if I'm honest.
Yeah, like the Angela Hill one. You know, it's rough. She posted a meme the other day because she loses so many split decisions when it's like her fans, Angela Hill fans, when they hear it's a split decision and like they already know she lost. So like their face was like he's all pissed off and stuff. But this is a cool matchup too. Short notice for Cavalcanti. Not maybe not too short a notice, but definitely a quick turnaround. Nora Cornhole, as I like to call her, Nora Cornoli versus Jacqueline Cavalcanti. Like I said, fought just a couple weeks ago, about a month, 5 weeks by the time fight rolls around, I think. And beat Josiane Nunez. And now she takes on a striker in Cornhole. What do you got here?
So it's the rematch that we all asked for.
Oh, yeah.
We caught the first fight, but it was a good fight. Jacqueline dominated and almost got a finish in that fight. Could have been finished. Depending on the ref, outcome could have been different. So I was back and forth. I was actually on Nora when I first saw this fight. I didn't really like Jackie on short notice. But after reviewing the tape and watching and seeing that they fought each other and watching that fight over, it's hard not to go with Jackie here. It's hard not to go with Jackie even to lean a finish here. The over-under, extremely wide, minus 350 on the over 2.5. I almost see value on a Jackie finish here. I think the safest bet on this fight would be Jacqueline finish only.
Yeah, I like that.
Because, you know why? We're in France. You're going to trust these judges in a close decision. That's nope. Just the safe way I would take it. I'm going to go Jacqueline wins by third round knockout. But I don't want anything to do with the judges on this card in France.
Yeah, I like that call on the finish only. That's a great look because, yeah, like you said, I'm surprised that Jacqueline beat Zara Farron. I mean, not because she shouldn't have won that fight, but because they are so biased there. Like, they're very proud of their people. Zara Farron, you know, she's not the best. She went over to Aries. I actually bet against her when she had her debut back in Aries. And she got choked out by some chick I'd never heard of. I never knew who that girl was. I just saw Zara Farron was fighting and I faded her. And that works even on the Aries FC level. So not a great competition level for her in the UFC so far, because Josiane Nunez is not good either, in my opinion. So you notice how much nicer I am when I'm not drinking? I'm not saying they suck. I'm saying, you know, they're just not that great. You said something, but you're muted there.
I was going to say, how lucky did we get? Did I get on that Irene Aldana finish only last week, huh? That was an absolute gift by the judge, by the doctor.
We forgot about that. It was from a clash of heads. So maybe that's why they let that continue. But that was the worst cut I've ever seen in the UFC, man. Other than maybe like that one where the dude's ear almost fell off. That was the worst cut I've seen, man. What was his name?
Ramiz Brahimaj. I watched that live. That was crazy.
Yeah, man. It was like just hanging on by a piece of skin. It was disgusting. And that dude's tough for continuing to fight, man. But nasty cut there. And as far as my pick on this, man, I totally agree with that bet. From what you're saying, the finish only for Jackie, that's a nice look. Nora's striking's good, man. She's got good counter striking, not a ton of power, even though she has a lot of knockouts, man. So maybe I'm you know, misremembering her power. She does have one finish and one decision in the UFC, but if you believe in MMA karma, Jocelyn Edwards absolutely beat her last time they were in France, if you watch that fight. So I got to go with Jackie here. It's a quick turnaround. I don't like that a lot, but I think she's meaner. I think she's got what it takes to kind of push this and to make it lopsided to where she could even get that decision. But yeah, women's fights, they a lot of times end in split. And in those cases, it's kind of tough to go with the foreigner in this case, which is Jackie from Portugal. So yeah, I'm going to go Jackie decision just because I think it's probably the most likely outcome, but that finishes live. And I think that's just like, that's a solid bet. Like if you're trying to be responsible with your bets, you get your money back if it goes to decision, whether Jackie wins or not. And if I'm not mistaken, if Jackie were to get finished, you would lose that bet, correct? Yeah. Okay.
So only way you lose that is if she gets finished.
Yeah. Which I don't see happening. So that's a safer bet for sure. Third fight of the night, Daniel Barres versus Victor Altamirano. Victor Altamirano, kind of a goofy dude, but I like him. I like his weird, like when he does that really corny, like fist pump, like he's a superhero in like the 50s or something. It's pretty sweet. I like it. All these fights that Altamirano has lost, he's been close in from what I remember. I'm not going to lie. I didn't go back and watch all of these, but this is a near even fight. I think Barras could get bet up to more of a favorite. I don't know if you have the lines handy on you right now. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I see Altamirano closing as a dog. You got him there?
That is correct. He is currently closing as a dog, but it's almost an even Steven fight. I see him as the favorite all on both sides, to be honest.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I got to go Victor Altamirano here. I think he's got the chin. He's shown that. He's got cardio like crazy. Barres, I don't think, unless I'm thinking of someone different, I don't think Barres has the best gas tank. Altamirano is definitely going to have him in the gas tank area. He's a better wrestler. I think he's got him pretty much beat everywhere in Barres. So, yeah, give me Altamirano decision. I hate betting all these decisions, but these new gloves, I really do believe that the new gloves have kind of like added to the lack of finishing. So give me Altamirano decision. Kind of see a lot of decisions on this card so far. What do you think about this matchup, though?
This is a tough one. Definitely one of those spots where I would wait, live bet, try to get both sides. I do like Daniel early. Victor's more of that slow starter, has good cardio though, and he's a great comeback fighter too. I feel like every fight I see him losing, he comes back somehow and gets a finish or gets the judges all on his side. He's a tough guy to bet against, to be honest. But I just gotta, looking at the over under here tells me all I need to know. -300 on the over 2.5. Like I said, trying to stay away from these fights that go to a decision. I'd rather find a different way to bet it. Definitely staying away from this fight. Like I said, I'd wait, see how the first round looks, and then find a spot to live bet on this fight. But gun to my head for a pick, I'm going to go with Daniel gets a decision. I think anything close, they'll give him his first UFC win here.
Okay. Barres, you're going decision, huh? Okay. Another chick fight for you. Aylin Perez versus Daria Zeliznikova. I'm going to go with Pretty interesting fight, man. I can't really stand Aylin Perez, but she's got a good style for like winning fights. What do you think about this matchup here?
I think Mirab blessed her with that ass slap
Yeah.
at the end of UFC 306. I think she's one of the easiest picks on the card. I see her line going up. I think she's at minus 250, 250, 260 range, and she's going up to 275. I see it closing at 300, maybe even higher. I think she's got a easy game plan here. Just takedowns, clinch, pressure, and work on that cardio, because typically she hasn't been looking good in that third round, even though she shut me up in her last fight. But I would love to see her get it done early too. To be honest, I honestly see a lot of the girls getting it done in this card. I'm gonna go with Aylin gets a ground and pound knockout. I'm gonna say round two. I think round one's gonna be a little bit competitive, but I think Aylin can get it done. She's gotten it done in the past, and I think she's the rightful favorite here. A little bit of a mismatch. Let's see if Daria can stop the takedowns and keep it competitive, but even on the feet, I think it's a 50-50 fight. I'm gonna go Perez gets that finish.
Okay. Yeah, I've got nothing to add to that. I even have the same round and the same method, ground and pound knockout. It just makes sense, man. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean that we're right. If Jared was on here and he saw it the same way, I would have to change my pick, because when we all agree on girl fights, we're wrong. So hopefully Jared will come in and he'll say like a decision for Aylin, because yeah, he's gonna pick Aylin. There's no reason to pick
thanks, Yasmin.
Yeah, so it's one of those fights. I do think it is kind of a mismatch. I think that the UFC does like Aylin, and they're not fighting in Vegas, so like the whole risk of like the judges not liking that style that Aylin's going to bring, that's not going to matter, even if it does go the distance, right? These judges in Vegas seem to really hate wrestling and that boring grappling stuff. So yeah, it's kind of a boring style. It's very Mirab like. She gets like, I think she averages 10 takedowns or 10 attempts a fight, definitely 10 attempts, and she gets about half those. So, yeah, just the rinse and repeat takedowns, I think, is going to be efficient for her here.
Think about it. If Montserrat Rendon is taking you down three times in 15 minutes, was it even in 15 minutes? Yeah, in 15 minutes, if Montserrat Rendon can take you down three times, Aylin Perez will take you down and keep you down.
Well, Montserrat Rendon is very top heavy. I don't know if you've noticed. So she can lean on these girls and just take them down.
But my thing is that there's a huge size difference compared to her and Perez. In my opinion, they're not even in the, they're in a whole different class.
Well, Montserrat's real tall. And I was making a boob joke there. That's why she's top heavy. She's got massive cans, Montserrat does. So that she can just lean on girls and they'll go over. But in all seriousness, you're right. If Montserrat's able to do that a couple of times, Aylin's gonna just work this girl on the ground. So and she does that top control. She seems to be position over submission. So that kind of opens up that ground and pound. And I just don't see, she doesn't really work for many submissions at all, from what I've seen. She likes to kind of like, you know, drown the opponents on the ground and whatnot. So cool. We both got Perez, ground and pound, TKO. That sub is live, even though I said, you know, she's not going to go for that, but you never know. And I think that Zelyeznikov, or however you say it, has some MMA karma coming back to her. I'm a big believer in that. So, yeah, we got the fifth fight of the night here. Taylor Lapolis versus Vince Morales. And cool matchup, especially for short notice. I'm not going to talk about this one too much because I'm not a fan of Lapolis's style. I don't like that French style, that Savate style, where it's just point fighting. But it is effective, and these guys are good at it. So I'm taking Lapolis here, even though he's probably – I mean, he is a pretty big favorite. I just think that he's going to just outpoint this dude, Vince Morales, and he's going to make it look pretty easy like he tends to do. Not a fun fight, but yeah, I see Lapolis just outpointing and getting a unanimous decision since he's in front of his French crowd. So yeah, give me Lapolis decision. What do you got?
I agree with you 100%. It's just, I'm worried that Vincent knows how to keep these fights close, and it's another one of those fights on the card where it's most likely going to a decision. But this is one of those spots where I'm a little bit more confident going on the hometown guy. He's definitely going to get anything close, in my opinion. But it's hard to find value on him at minus, what, 350? I guarantee you, even betting him by decisions, probably negative money, too. Favorite yeah. money on Taylor by decisions, just a horrible bet. Definitely another stay away from me. There's no opportunity to find an EV position here. So Taylor decision is the bet. Maybe you could find value on betting him and parlaying it with the over in 1.5. Maybe you get it to something where it's parlayable, in my opinion. But that's the only way I would target it. Other than that, I would recommend you guys stay away.
Yeah, I didn't realize Vince Morales had been in the UFC so long. He's got 8 fights. He's 3-5. The competition level he's fighting is pretty solid, though. I guess he got the boot after he lost to Miles Johns and Jonathan Martinez back-to-back. And then, you know, went to front Street Fights, which I've never heard of, and then Risen, Tough Enough, United Fight League. So he's just bouncing around regional scenes. And he's collected 4 wins, including a belt by Peruvian Necktie, which is pretty dope. You don't see that often in United Fight League. So, I mean, the guy's well-rounded. He has a lot of pressure, too, from what I do remember of his fights. So that is something that Lapolis may not like, because he does like to keep the fights clean, but he's good at doing that. So I just see it kind of working out that way.
And here's another way you could target that fight is Vince usually comes out hard. Vince is usually winning round one on the judges. Typically wins round one, at least a round against every opponent. It's not often he's getting 30-27. So even a plus 3.5 on Vince, maybe if you can get that at like plus 200, that wouldn't be a bad idea to take.
Yeah, no, I agree. After that first round, it will be interesting to see where he's lying. But I'm sure, to your point too, the Lapolis by points is probably minus 200, minus 180, something like that. It's not going to be a huge difference from his money line. So, you know, assume like 100 to 200 points difference from wherever his money line closes is what I would think. Next fight here is yours, and this is actually I think it's a mismatch as well. Ludovic Klein versus Roosevelt Roberts. I think there's one answer to how this fight goes. I mean, one winner, but what do you think about this matchup?
Wide line. It's never, no offense to, I know you hate when I say that, but no offense to the line makers here, but minus 900 on Klein is outrageous. He's definitely fell short for us in the past. I can remember that Nate Landwehr fight. He gassed out in round 3 as a huge favorite. Love to see it. I had Nate Landwehr. I've been pretty good on Ludovic Klein fights, but this isn't one that I would like to target at minus 900. I think it opened up at minus 7. Definitely staying away. They force you to take a prop. Just yeah. like the Lapolis fight, the way I would target this, because the bookies actually think there's a finish in this fight. The yeah. under 2.5 is minus 170. That leads me to believe that if you want to take Klein and over 1.5, you'll probably get that at minus 110 in that area. That's the only way I would take Ludovic. It's just to pray that he takes it easy on Roosevelt, outpoints him for a couple rounds. But that's hard because Roosevelt, we're bagging on Roosevelt getting better. And right. I think he has, but in the grappling department. I don't think he's gotten better in the striking department. So if you're going to target this fight, maybe go Luda under 1.5, Luda over 1.5. But I'm going to go Ludovic decision. I think we see a little bit of grappling. I think we see a well-rounded game plan from Klein. And I think Roosevelt's going to play it safe, and he's going to survive a lot of situations as well. So not confident on this fight. I'm confident on Ludovic Klein winning, but just it's hard to pick a prop here. So Ludovic decision, and that's going to be my official pick, but good luck trying to parlay that minus 900.
Yeah, that's a good look, kind of going the like almost fading the public without fading the side, because I see a finish coming here. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it happens in round one. Ludovic Klein knockout round one, just while they're, I mean, it could happen quick. I had this pulled up because this is a concerning point if you're on the Roosevelt side. There's no contest to Kevin Kroom. Kevin Kroom won that fight, but it was overturned because he was smoking weed, which we don't care about that anymore. They never should have in the first place. But that would have been Kevin Kroom's only UFC win. So, you know, Kevin Kroom fighting in BKFC now. He wasn't good at the UFC level. He just wasn't. I mean, and this is the only guy that he beat. I don't remember how that fight went. Do you remember if Kroom, like, knocked him out, or was it a decision? What happened?
It was quick. I remember it was super quick. I bet Kroom in that fight. He was, like, plus 300. Roosevelt just was not reliable. And, he got a quick guillotine choke in, like, the first minute.
Okay.
But ever since then, he's gotten better. Roosevelt's found to be durable. I mean, he lasted almost three rounds with Ignacio Bahamondes, and look how great he looked at UFC 306. He's just one of those young guys who came into the UFC and he's growing in the sport. So every single fight, he is probably going to get better. I think we're going to see a little bit of heart from him, and I think he's going to survive, but I think Klein's going to style on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. That's what I was kind of getting at the beginning there when I was like, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. One way this ends, and the one way I ends is one way it ends is just seeing Klein winning, but how does he get it done? That's the confusing part. He could catch him in some kind of sub. I just see an early finish here for Klein. So I think that minus 170 or whatever you said, I think that makes sense. But fading the books and fading the public sometimes works real well. So good luck on that. This is another mismatch for the sixth or seventh fight of the night. I'm not sure where we're at. But Omar Sy versus Dawoon Jung. Dawoon Jung probably getting kicked out of the UFC after this. This will be his fourth loss. I haven't been impressed by these South Koreans lately, man. They haven't been doing great at all. And, you know, they're all kind of trying to follow in the Korean Zombie's footsteps a little bit here. But the last South Korean I've really seen do well, I mean, I can't even tell you. Like, getting choked out by Carlos Olberg is not a good look at all. I mean, Carlos Olberg is a strict kickboxer. So it seems like Jung is one of these guys that finds a way to lose. The odds reflect it. On Tapology, it's showing minus 500. I'm sure Sy is going to close like minus 700 or more by the time this gets closer. And I think Sy probably knocks him out again in round one. I see a quick finish here for Sy, who is undefeated. I mean, I think the UFC is trying to turn this dude into a star. So, you know, fighting in front of his French crowd, I think he's fired up, goes out there and gets that early knockout in round one for Sy. What do you got?
Broke it down perfect. We get the broken prospect versus the UFC's brand new toy. Line's wide here. Minus 500. Hard to lay the juice on a guy with just one UFC fight, but it is easy once you look at how Jung has declined, to be honest. The level of competition has gone up, but he hasn't risen to the occasion once in his last three fights. He let me down against Jacoby. I had the over in that, and his chin gave out on me. I bet him against Clark. He lost, and I faded him against Elberg and finally started hitting against him. So I do like Umar here. It's just hard to pick a prop, because Jung's got pretty good takedown defense. So how's he going to – I see this fight going a little bit longer. And I'm going to say Sy gets a late second round finish. I'm going to say it's a ground and pound.
Yeah, I like that ground and pound look too. Because I meant to say too, he is a big wrestler, Sy is, right? Devin Clark's a wrestler too, but I don't remember him shooting many takedowns in that fight. And obviously, Dustin Jacoby, kind of a one-dimensional kickboxer. The Jacoby loss doesn't look great on paper these days, but that was back in 2022 when Jacoby was definitely better. And that Olberg fight was a year ago, September 9th of 2023. That's a long time for, you know, primary striker to come back after a year off. These strikers tend to not look great. Wrestlers can pick right back up where they left off, but strikers kind of need that time to find their style again and their range and all that stuff. But yeah, I think this is Sy all day. Next fight, Iwan Kutalaba is still around somehow, which is wild. Very entertaining fighter, though, man. I always get excited to see his fights because someone's going down. Someone's getting knocked out. I think that's why they keep him around. They'll give him a soft matchup every now and then, like this Tanner Boser fight for him. He probably should have beat Felipe Lenz as well. Didn't get knocked out in that one, so that's good. But, yeah, this is yours, I think. You can take it either way. Who do you got between the Hulk and Ivan Ersland, who does hit really hard?
Tough fight. And back-to-back fighters who might be out of the UFC. We got two guys back-to-back fighting for their jobs. And according to the lines, according to the bookies, they think Kutalaba is going to keep his job. Hard to lay minus 125 on Iron Kutalaba. And after doing tape, it was even harder to do.
Oh, yeah.
I really like the under here. I think both of these guys' styles will lead to a finish, and the bookies agree. We haven't seen a Kutalaba fight set at over 1.5 in a few fights, in my opinion. So under 1.5 at minus 140 is probably the best bet on this fight for me. Picking a fighter in this is really just feels like a coin flip. They both got a shot. I think they're both going to go out here and swing. It's going to be a barn burner, in my opinion. I kind of liked Ivan a little bit more. I think he's a little bit more hungry. And I think he's going to be the guy who's getting paid less to show up at this fight. So yeah. I think he's going to be a little bit more motivated to get the win bonus, too. So I'm going to go Ivan gets a round one knockout. Not super confident in this fight. If you're going to play this, I would take the under 2.5, the no distance as well. I think the no distance is pretty good at, it might be minus 250, minus 300. So that's actually a good parlay piece.
Sweet. Yeah, I like the, I do like that under, but I'm going to kind of be a little contrarian here because I think Iwan comes out there and I think he gets back to his Sambo. Just because that's, you know, again, they're not in Vegas. He doesn't need to be too impressive. He just needs to get a win here. And I think even with the loss, I don't think that they cut him. He's 6-9-1 with one draw in the UFC. And I mean, he's never gone on like a run. He's never had like 3-4 fights that he's won back to back at this UFC level, unless I missed something. Yeah, he's gone on a 2-fight win streak and that's it. So he's never gotten a streak together. I think the UFC just likes his style. He's losing to good guys. He's beat good guys and Khalil Roundtree Jr. I mean, he's fighting Alex Pereira pretty soon here, which is pretty wild. So yeah, I mean, give me Iwan here. I hope that more money comes on Ivan Ersland, just because people are concerned about Kutalaba's chin. I see this kind of closing as a pick'em, to be honest. I don't know, where's it at right now?
Kutalaba minus 125.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, if more action comes in on Ursuline, this could be real close to a pick. I mean, I would like that. So I am waiting, of course, to bet on that. But give me Iwan, however the hell you say his name. We'll call him the Hulk. Give me the Hulk KO round three. This goes against everything that I really think happens. But, yeah, Iwan KO round three, man. Just being different. Guy's so unpredictable, it's hard to get a good read on him. But here we have a weird matchup, I think. This is Faris Ziam, one of the most boring fighters. Like, I don't know. This dude's fights suck. But he has that same style, the savate, point fighting. He's taking on Matt Frivola, who's the opposite of that. Frivola comes forward and just swings. He's going to put a ton of pressure on Ziam. But I think that boring style works for these guys. Ziam's good at doing it. I hate picking Ziam, but I'm going to pick him by decision. Frivola does gas out after a round and a half or so because of that pressure. I think he's going to try and get him out early. I think Ziam just kind of weathers that early storm, moves out of the way, backs up a ton, and then when Frivola's a little tired, he can work his game, come back late, probably drops the first round, but give me Ziam to win by decision like he tends to do. What do you got?
Been back and forth at this fight. Been back and forth. It's hard not to go with the younger guy who's improving, has the better chin. But I like Frivola here. I really do. I think the vet gets it done. I think his camp has the momentum too. You know, his camp just got a championship belt as a huge upset. And now he's going into someone's backyard as an underdog, as a better wrestler. I think he could even keep it close standing as long as his chin holds up. He's probably got the power advantage as well. He might not have the durability advantage. But at dog money, it's really hard not to go with Frivola here. I hate any close decision. I do think this fight is more likely to go the distance, but I just think Frivola is going to be the more active guy. This man just went to a split decision against Puelles. In my opinion, Frivola can do everything Puelles does, but also can hit like a truck and also can strike a little bit better than Puelles. I'm sorry, I'm insulting by saying a lot better.
Yeah.
He can actually strike. So I think we're getting a gift on here. You know, I think some of the trends, like the 6 year difference that has a 65% win ratio, I think some of those are affecting the odds here. And you can't blame it. The trends are the trends. But I like the older guy here. I'm going to go with the vet, Frivola. I think he has multiple ways he can win. I think he's going to win in the pressure. I think he's going to mix it up. I think he's going to get takedowns. Wouldn't even be shocked to see this man get a sub, as we've seen Ferrez get subbed 3 times before. I think this is definitely one of the French guys on the card to lose. And I'm going to go for Vola. I really want to pick sub. I want to pick sub round one so bad. I'm going to do it. Sub round one. Let's go.
Well, I've got some good news for you. You said sub round one for Frivola. Jared is on Cornhole by decision. So we like our Jackie bet there. That's not because we want to fade Jared, because Jared's like Hansel. He's so hot right now. But we can't all agree on the fucking chick fights, man. So just to run through his picks up to where we're at right now, Jared has Duncan by decision, Cornhole by decision, Altamirano by decision. He skips here. Oh, Daria knockout round two. Morales by decision. Klein by knockout in round one. So he's agreeing with me on that quick finish there. Tsai by decision, which is interesting. Kutalaba knockout round one. And where did we end here? Frivola. So yeah, he's got Xian by decision too. So seeing eye to eye on a lot of those, different in some key spots. We like seeing the difference on the girl fight there. So that was our ninth fight. We still got five more to do. This is going quicker, obviously, because we don't have all three of us here. But it's a good matchup. I forget who took that last one. You can just have this. Morgan Charrier versus Gabriel Miranda seems like another mismatch to me. But I'm interested to see what you think. Miranda's very good on the ground, man. Like this guy, this last time out when he got that sub in round one against Shane Young, I'm pretty sure we were all on that pretty heavy. Just because I mean, that's how this dude Miranda wins. So, yeah, I've had some good luck betting this dude. I did bet on him against Benoit Saint-Denis because I didn't know who Benoit Saint-Denis was. I think that was Benoit's like second fight after getting his shit pushed in by Thiago, whoever he fought. That was his first fight. I mean, I don't know how he didn't get finished there, but it showed his toughness. And it's an interesting matchup here, man. I don't understand too, before you go, I don't understand Morgan Charrier's record, 19, 10, and 1. He's way better than that. I mean, he is definitely the best 19, 10, and 1 fighter in the world, hands down. But what do you think about the matchup? Who wins?
Miranda looked good at 145, huh? Old guy cutting down to that extra
Yep.
10 pounds, and he still looked good and kind of shocked everyone.
Yep.
Yeah, tough to go. He's definitely gonna be the bigger guy here. Morgan's kind of small even for featherweight. I like him. I lost against him on Shepe in his last fight. He let me down. You had Shepe in that fight. That was a good pick.
I love
It's
Chepe.
tough. I know you guys. I know Jared likes the over. I don't know how you're feeling on this, but I kind of like the no distance. I like a finish in this fight. I think Miranda can get hurt on the feet, especially cutting that extra weight. I really haven't seen him eat damage at 145 yet, so I'm curious to see that. And I'm also don't think Morgan's as good in the BJJ department as Gabriel. So that double method, you know, Morgan by KO, Gabriel by sub is definitely something I'm eyeing. I'm eyeing the no distance in this fight. Gun to my head, I'm going to take Morgan gets a round two knockout. I think Gabriel's going to get a little bit tired, gas out, not find anything, maybe get in a couple submission attempts, but not seal him up. And the second round, that gas thing's going to wear down.
KO round two, huh? I like that. Jared here has Morgan by decision.
Not a bad pick either. Because Gabriel, if he has the cardio at 145, he can survive a beating for three rounds on Morgan. It's just, I don't think he's got three rounds at 145.
Sorry, I was filling up my water here.
You also got to look at it. Benoit St. Denis isn't Morgan, too.
Right. Right.
But, and he survived a round with him, and that speaks a lot for itself.
Yeah, I think that Benoit's been just getting better and better each fight, though. Now, you know, he did just beat the shit out of Dustin Poirier and then get knocked out in round two. But I tend to believe he had staff in that fight, man. I really do think that he did because he hasn't shown those cardio issues in the past. You know, Dustin Poirier is my favorite fighter, but he in all like normal conditions, I think if Benoit didn't have any staff, I think that he probably works Dustin there. He's just, he's got such a well-rounded style. I'm excited to talk about his fight later. But yeah, Charrier, you know, even though he's one of these French dudes, he doesn't have that boring style. He doesn't have the point fighting style. He's willing to go out there and get or get got. And I think he goes out here and he gets Miranda out of there fairly early. He probably does have to weather some of that, you know, grappling a little bit. The round one Miranda sub is live. It's very live, I think. You know, he can catch anybody in this stuff. But I think Morgan's good enough to know if you're just a one-dimensional jiu-jitsu guy like Miranda is, that doesn't work that well anymore. You know, it used to. Like, look at Poyas. Look at these guys that just go out there and try and use jiu-jitsu. Bryce Mitchell. That didn't work very well against Josh Emmett, who we thought was kind of fading. So, yeah, give me the striker. Give me the more entertaining guy. A lot of people call him like the French version of Sean O'Malley because he does the weird hair stuff and he's. He's got that cool style and fan-friendly style, but I think that Morgan probably gets the knockout in round two. Same thing you said. It does just make sense. It could come later, could come in round three. But yeah, I see a finish here for Charrier. Moving on up. Kevin Jussé versus Brian Battle. This is a dope fight. Very different styles. Jussé does kind of have that boring style. He does get finishes every now and then. But Brian Battle is he's got a wild style, man. High pressure, super fun to watch. He's an entertaining guy. Loves to say, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this dude says, you know what I'm saying, so damn much. But, I mean, he is very good. And he seems to have, like, a little bit of a career resurgence. If I remember, he wasn't doing too great a while ago. No, I guess he's always been pretty damn good. He just hasn't fought the greatest level of competition up until he faced Urbina, who's not awesome, but, you know, decent fighter. Trayshawn Gore, I thought, was a lot better than he actually is. He lost to Renat. That's not a horrible loss, but it looks weird because Renat doesn't really seem to have that killer instinct. Like, you know, I don't know if you've noticed in the Renat fights, he goes hard, he fights hard, he will gas a little bit towards the end, but he hugs his opponents and stuff in between rounds. Like, I don't like that. It's fucking weird. But Renat's very good, so not a bad loss. I got to go with Brian Battle here. I think that the pressure that he's going to put on Jussé is not going to work out very well for Air Kevin Jussé. So I see a finish coming. I think it could happen because, you know, they have the same record, 10-2. Brian Battle loves getting in there and getting a little wild. I think he's going to try and upset this audience here in France, and he probably gets the knockout around two. I'm going to go round two again for Brian Battle knockout. Not super confident in that round, but I see a finish coming for Battle. What do you think?
Been back and forth with this one. You know, it's hard to see how Battle wins without knocking him out. I could see him outpointing him on the feet. It's just, it's hard to picture this fight without Kevin wrestling and being successful in it. I mean, it's hard not to see something similar to the Renat fight happening. And look at that Renat fight. He got absolutely demolished in that fight. You know, I'm looking at the stats. He only landed 3 strikes. You know, significant at distance, which is outrageous, which is crazy. So it really tells you, if you can out-wrestle Brian Battle, you can win. I think a good spot for this fight would be a decision only for Battle, because he definitely knows how to survive on his back. And yeah, it's hard. I definitely would go with like a double method, maybe like Jussette or Jussie decision and Battle KO. But I'm going to go with Kevin wins a decision. I think this is going to be one of the boring fights on the card. A lot of wrestling, a lot of clinch, a lot of takedowns from Jussie. And yeah, that's unfortunate because I like Battle. I think he's the better fighter, in my opinion. I just think Kevin has enough tools to just lay and prey on him. And I know anything close is going to go to Kevin here.
Okay. Yeah, I love Jared's whale bet a lot. We'll share that at the end. And the steamer is also something that is, it's not a bad look. I think this is an easy card. You're saying that this is a tough one. Now, I say that before we start betting on it, but it seems easy on paper, you know, Anthony Smith special. I got some stats for you real quick on Kevin Jussie. All right. Strikes landed per minute for Kevin Jussie, 8.23. That's high. And that's only in 2 fights. That's incredible, though. The striking accuracy is 55%, and he's absorbing 5.1 strikes per minute. So he's landing a decent amount, almost twice as much as he is absorbing. The takedowns, like, he doesn't shoot many takedowns, so I'm not worried about the takedowns here. He's a kickboxer, city kickboxing guy, even though he's French. He fights over there in, or trains, I should say, out of New Zealand with all those guys. That gym's been very hot lately, even with the Contender Series. They're getting all kinds of guys in this year. The takedown defense is 100% for him. So it's just an interesting look that you were having there, where, you know, Jussie would have to come in here and wrestle. I don't see him doing that. I think he's going to try and strike with Battle. He probably is the better striker than Battle from a technical perspective, but Battle's just more wild.
I think he's definitely going to wrestle here. But Battle's dangerous on the feet. He's getting better. I mean, you watch tape. You watch him beat up Angalusa and watch him quit. Yeah, I'm definitely going out there. If you're his coach, what are you telling him? You got to go out there and wrestle. He gasses out later, too. You want to take that power away. I think...
You're saying Battle gasses? Say
coming out and wrestling. Yes, I think Battle can get tired, especially after Jussie wrestles for a little bit. I think if he extends the fight, it's only going to help Kevin.
Interesting. Okay, so you're thinking what? Jussie decision, you said?
Yeah, I'm thinking Jussie decision.
Not a bad look at
in
all.
In a safe profit, in decision only. It's probably, I guarantee you, it's probably minus money.
Yeah.
Props aren't out yet, but I'm going to tell you, Kevin Jussie decision only is probably... favorite bet.
Okay, yeah, I like this too, that Jared's on the same method, the knockout round two. So that's more reassuring for my side there. But and then we'll jump ahead here too to Brito. He's got Brito knockout round, or sorry, sub round one, and you can take that one. The next fight is William Gomi versus Joe Anderson Brito. Wildly different styles here with these two.
Love Brito here. I bet him early last week. I threw him in a parlay with the over 1.5 in Ortega just to try to get it in early, because I thought it was going to go to minus 300. It hasn't, but it went up to minus 270. It was minus 250 last week. So I do like Brito here. I think he's the rightful favorite. On the main card spot, he's going to be motivated. And I think he gets a win here. They're going to give him a ranked opponent. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with Brito. It's hard to pick a method here. It's very hard. He can win every which way, Brito.
Yeah.
I'm confident he can win a decision. I'm confident he can win by knockout, and I'm confident he can win by submission. very hard to give a prop. Wouldn't tail a prop in this. But I'm going to go Brito wins by knockout round three. I think he shows a lot of that cardio. And I think the damage is going to accumulate. And William Gomez is going to quit in round three.
Yeah, I like that round three look. I hate this picture of Gomez here. I don't know why. It's annoying. It looks like a business picture or something. Like on his like company ID. It's a really weird look. Brito's dangerous everywhere, like you said. He is one of the more dangerous guys in this division, featherweight. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, and they still are fighting a featherweight here. Gomi is just too timid on the feet, you know. He has that one knockout win, but this was not a knockout. He like kicked Gomori, or Gomori hurt himself or something, and then Gomori tried to call timeout for like the fourth time in a row in that fight, and Gomori got the TKO. It was from, it says from a body kick, but it should have said opponent quit or retirement or whatever it says, because that's what happened. So Gomi doesn't have any knockouts in the UFC realistically. He's only got three fights, but they've all been boring. Took Francis Marshall to a split decision. Francis Marshall came back. He's looked good since he lost in his last there's two fights ago, I believe, for him. Jarno Ahrens beating him by a majority decision. I know you like Jarno. I don't think Jarno is really UFC level. Personally, that's just my humble opinion there. But yeah, dude, the pressure is gonna be too much for Gomez here. I think Joe Anderson's going to come in there. He's going to start throwing. He's going to throw a strike in the first 10 seconds, probably land. He's got the combinations. I could see him really like overwhelming him with punches, shooting a takedown when Gomez is backing up against the fence, getting it easily. Ground and pound could come from there, submissions, whatever. So it is tough. I had knockout round two marked down again. One of those is bound to hit three in a row, but I'm going to switch it to a sub in round two. Probably some kind of choke. I think Gomez probably gives up his back, getting up a little sloppy, and Brito links in that choke in round two. So give me that. Interesting matchup, though, for sure. Because you'd think that they'd want Gomez to win, but that's a tough fight for him.
I think it's, yeah, way too big of a step up for him. Like, think about that. He borderline lost that Aaron's fight and borderline lost that Francis Marshall fight. Yeah. I did bet on against Giannis, but this is a whole different ball game, in my opinion. You got a guy who can hit you hard and power wrestle you.
That last Brito fight, dude. I don't know if you remember how that ended. That dude's shin split open, like nasty, nasty. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Jack Shore. Yeah,
yeah. It was disgusting. But yeah, dude, Brito's just too dangerous. This seems like a step down in competition for him a little bit too. I don't think too highly of Gomez. And I was actually pissed at that fight. I did have Gomez, but I had him by points. So I was pissed because that should have gone to decision. I mean, you know, Gomori is one of the worst in the promotion right now. So I guess I should have seen that coming, but whatever. You win some.
Yeah, I got a win over Diego Lopes, bro.
Who? Gomori?
Brito.
Oh, Brito?
No, Brito win over Diego Lopes, the GOAT. Like, this man's, is he even ranked?
No, I don't think so. It says he's 17 on Tapology, but that's not 100% accurate.
Win over a top guy, and he's not even ranked yet. This is a buy low spot on him, in my opinion.
I mean, dude, look at some of these wins, man. These are obviously before the UFC. He beat Chepe. And then he went from Chepe to Diego Lopes, somehow lost to Bill Algeo after that, beat Andre Feely. That's a good win. I mean, he's beaten Bill some good dudes. Jonathan Pierce, he choked out Jonathan Pierce. Like, that's an accomplishment because Jonathan Pierce is great on the ground. He's got some good wins, man. And yeah, I agree. He needs a ranked opponent after this. And not talking like 15. I think he should get jumped up a good amount here, top 10, something like that, because the dude is dangerous and he's good. He's 29. So
him versus Ige. Him versus Dan Ige next. Perfect.
That'd be dope. Yeah. I'd probably take him there against Ige. But yeah, now co-main event of the evening. You can have this one. Super fun fight, and it matters a lot for the division in the middleweight division there. Nasruddin Imavov versus Brendan Allen, who's kind of turned into a bit of a weirdo lately, fighting people in casinos and stuff. But what do you think about this?
I like Imavov here. It's hard to fade Allen, though. He's very passionate about getting all of his wins back. And it's tough, like, beating this guy because you know you're going to have this guy chasing you for the rest of your life. I mean, he's just really after Strickland, and I don't know. I think he hits a brick wall here. I think Imavov can beat him everywhere. I think he can out-wrestle him. I think he can beat him up on the feet. I think he's the better, cleaner striker. But it's hard because Brendan Allen's been showing so much improvement every fight. And if he does get in those positions, if he happens to get Imavov's back, happens to get a couple takedowns and get in top control, this fight could end fast. And that's the only thing I'm scared about when I'm taking Imavov, is that Allen's very likely to finish this in those positions. And I think Allen can survive on the feet. You know, this isn't going to look like how Allen fought Strickland, where it's really Strickland's dominating him on the feet. I think Allen's really progressed in the striking since then.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to hold his own against Imavov, keep it close. I'm just worried about those situations and those scrambles because I think Allen's really good in those positions. And he shut me up in the past, you know. I've bet against him a couple times on this win streak, and I've bet on him a couple times as well. But I'm just not a fan of him. I'm trying not to let my bias get in between my bets. And just using, you know, previous fights as measuring sticks, it's hard to not go with Imavov here. He's the rightful favorite. I mean, they have so many common opponents. Just look how they, using the MMA math, Imavov should win this fight, but it's just something, it's hard going against a motivated Allen here. But I'm going to go Imavov wins a decision. I think he's just going to win more rounds on the feet, stop takedowns, and I think he clearly wins 4 out of 5 rounds. Is this a 5-rounder? Has to be, right?
Should be just 3.
It is a 5-rounder. Yeah, I'm more confident in Imavov in a 3-rounder, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything that you're saying is correct. Jared does have Imavov by decision, too. I think Imavov's better on the ground, though. You know, I know that the sub threat is definitely there for Allen, but Imavov, you know, he's definitely better at getting it there. I think his striking is decent. I think this is pretty even in the striking department, but I think where the edge Nasruddin will have is in the pace and his technical approach. That's just kind of what I think. Allen does kind of fight with a lot of emotion. And I guess I heard that Shavkat Rakhmonov gave Brendan Allen that hat that he wears, you know, like that raccoon or whatever the fuck it is. And ever since then, he's been undefeated. So that's kind of interesting, especially if you like, you know, if you believe in weird shit like that. But yeah, he's...
If you're betting a double method on this fight, you have to take Allen by sub, in my opinion, because he's just a better BJJ guy. I mean, Imavov doesn't have one sub on his record. Look how many subs Brendan Allen has. He's going to be the better grappler in this fight, and that's how he wins, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Allen has beat some good jiu-jitsu guys. Jacob Malkoon, Andre Muniz. Paul Craig. I mean, Paul Craig's very one-dimensional, though. I just wasn't impressed with his fight against Chris Curtis. I think that a case could be made that Chris Curtis won that fight, to be honest. Like, it was very close. I don't think very highly of Chris Curtis. Like, not him as a person. He seems cool as fuck. But, you know, he's 31-10. He's very one-dimensional, Chris Curtis is. It's that same style that Sean Strickland has. Just march forward and throw simple combinations, single punches, things like that. And, you know, it was a split decision against Chris Curtis. Going from Chris Curtis to Nasruddin Imavov is tough. Like, that's a very tough matchup. So.
But look at his fight against Chris Curtis 3 years ago in their first fight. He's come a long way from then.
Sure. I just don't think it's enough for Imavov.
I agree with you. But he still had time to improve. I think the fight's just going to be a little bit closer than we think. I don't think it's. it's going to be as a huge blowout winner, as we say. But I would love to see Imavov knock him out. But I'm rooting for Imavov. I hope he can get it done. You're scaring me with that hat conspiracy now. I might bet a little bit less after that. I'm probably going to look into that now.
There you go. Yeah, I have Imavov by decision. Same reasons you guys do. I think if this is close, they probably do give it to Imavov. And yeah, a lot of people agree with that decision, it seems like, on Tapology. So for what that's worth, I usually don't love tailing Tapology, but sometimes it's pretty straightforward, and I think that's what this is. Now, the main event, again, fun one, because, you know, these guys are both on solid tears. Now, I know Benoit lost his last fight to the best boxer in the UFC. I don't care what anyone says. Dustin Poirier is the best boxer in the UFC. It's not Max Holloway. I mean, fucking Dustin Poirier beat Max Holloway twice. So finished him one time too. So yeah, I think with Moicano, got very lucky with his last one. Very lucky with his last one because Jalen Turner was stupid, dropped him. I actually had Moicano in that fight, and I was fucking scared when I saw him drop like that. It looked like he was out. And Jalen Turner just walks away. And then after that, you could tell that he had that adrenaline dump. He wasn't there anymore. He thought he was done fighting. And Moicano's a tough dude. He came back, got the takedown, ground and pounded Jalen Turner, which was pretty wild. I saw the submission coming. That's the way I picked it. But yeah, Moicano is definitely, he's motivated. He says he can't lose because he needs the money and stuff. So I like that. I like that drive that he's got. And he does seem to get it done when he needs to. He does everything he needs to do to set himself up. But his chin is concerning against a guy like Benoit Saint-Denis. Benoit is sick on the ground too. Not nearly as good as Moicano. Moicano is like one of the highest level black belts, I think, in the UFC. He's very good on the ground. But Benoit, dude, he's got the takedown defense. He's going to try and keep this a striking match on the feet. Moicano's technical enough to avoid some of those shots. But Benoit's got the chin. It didn't show in his last fight. Again, I think he had staff. I see round one, maybe round two knockout for Benoit. I think it comes very early. I think, you know, he's the first time main eventing in the UFC in front of his home crowd. This dude has a lot of like national pride, you know, served in the military, supposedly. I don't know. I've seen the pictures and stuff, so shouldn't say supposedly. But yeah, he's a bad dude. And Moicano's chin, I think, is going to fail him early here. I'm picking officially knockout round one for Benoit, but it could easily come in round two or three. Jared's got the round three knockout. But yeah, mark me down for round one knockout for the God of War. What do you got? What are you laughing at?
I like that pick. I like that pick. Hard not to go with Saint-Denis. It's hard, you know, but that momentum got stuffed. I'm with Saint-Denis. Don't get me wrong. That's the pick. I think he does get a knockout. I'm going to say round two. But let me just express, this is another fight. If I'm picking methods, double methods, if Dustin Poirier can get four submission attempts on you, we might see a couple here from Renato. That's usually the method he's going to win by. A lot of BJJ opportunities this week. I think the double method here to go would be Benoit KO and Renato submission. It's a great way to look. I'm going to be betting a lot of double methods this week, to tell you that. But it's a no-lose spot for either of these guys, to be honest, because just where they're at in the rankings, it's 11 versus 12. Pretty much you're fighting for an opportunity to fight in the top 10. But when you're fighting someone also ranked in the top 10 through top 15, it's fight's kind of pointless. It doesn't really matter. You're going to get another opportunity after this. Both of these guys are. So, you know, it's not too much pressure on either of these guys other than to make money.
Yeah, I think there's you know, the UFC is kind of setting this up. And this is what they thought probably for Jalen Turner, too, after losing to, I think it was Dan Hooker that he lost to before Moicano. Moicano's not an easy bounce back for anybody, but the style says that this should be easy for Saint-Denis. I know that your boy Matty Betts is probably going to have some heavy action on Moicano because, you know, co-host sounds like they're good, like actual true friends and stuff.
That he's betting the house.
Yeah, which I would not recommend. Yeah, if I have a friend fighting, I'm probably betting some shit on him, but It's not going to be a big bet. If I'm friends with Moicano, I'm not throwing the house down on him here because it's a sketchy spot for him. It's very tough. And I think there's a bounce back spot just to kind of justify that Benoit should continue fighting up in the rankings. I think Benoit could be a champion. I don't think he beats Islam, to be fair, but I think Islam probably moves up to 170 before Saint Denis gets too close to that spot. I think him and Charles Oliveira is a sick matchup, dude. Benoit and Charles Oliveira is a dope matchup. Chandler, any of these kind of crazy, like high volume strikers and stuff. But yeah, dude, Benoit all day. It's easy for me here. Anything else? You got the giggles over there. What are you laughing about? What's so funny?
I'm just looking at Renato's record and I'm just like, how did I lose money on Dober? He should have got that done. Scarring betting against Renato after you like lost against him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he's got some solid wins. Brad Riddell is decent. Drew Dober's good. Jalen Turner's good. Lost to RDA. That's kind of a weird look. That's back in 2022, though. Alexander Hernandez, he beat him. I thought he lost. Jai Herbert, I mean, he's losing to the top guys, realistically. Jose Aldo, Rafael Fiziev. I mean, these are solid losses if you're going to have to lose. But, yeah, dude, tough matchup for him, for sure. So, get into these whale bets and stuff. We're wrapping up. Like I said, a little low energy today. So, sorry if it's, not super high-paced and exciting like it usually is. But, we recorded a little early today. So Jared's got the whale bet. I love this, actually. Imavov and Brito, he's got. It's at plus 100 for those two. That is a nice, nice, solid, confident pick if you're on those two fighters. And then his four-teamer. What's that?
I like that pick.
Yeah, it's solid. Steamer that he's got is Altamirano, Cutelaba, Battle, and Saint-Denis, and that's at plus 600. So if you like all those fighters, that's some juicy odds for those. I know you're not on Battle yourself, but it's a good good plus money play there. You got any extra bets before we get out of here?
I'm going to give out Matt Frivola money line. I'm curious on seeing a lot of the props and the overs and the alternate overs aren't out right now, which kind of upsets me. I would like to see the over 1.5 in Imavov Allen. I'd like to target that. And a lot of the overs on the prelims are pretty juiced. Keep your eye out on the no distance in the Perez Daria. How do you even pronounce that last name?
I think it's Zalyaznikova.
Zalyaznikova? Yeah, keep your eye on no distance in that fight. Jared likes a KO in that fight. I like a KO in that fight. Keep your eye out on that. It's probably about 185. Yeah. So that's a couple picks. Matt Frivola, money line. Take the over 1.5 in Imavov Allen. And to find a leg with that, you could even go Brito money line. As we're talking, Brito just hit minus 300 at a couple spots. If you want to get him in early. And maybe go Jacqueline Calvaganti money line, like that spot too. Now you could use that as a leg with the over 1.5 in Imavov, and probably get even money. Let's ride.
I like that. I like that. Man, I'm looking at Zalyaznikova's Instagram. She is very pretty. I don't know if you've checked that out, but she is definitely. A lot of these Russian girls are, though, dude. Like, they're just. What's up?
Put it on the screen. Whip it up.
Want me to show you? Always need a little thirst trap. I noticed there was another show that I listened to that started doing this recently. I wonder if they stole the idea from us. Okay, can you see the Instagram?
Oh, showing off, girl.
I mean, dude, she's got it all. She's pretty fucking hot, to be honest. You don't see that, though, when she's out there, doing her shit. She's got fucking abs, dude. This girl's built. But yeah, I mean, look at that. She doesn't look like a fighter right there. This top comment just says, marry me. But yeah, I mean,
that's all it. The pretty girls have been winning this year.
They sure have. I mean, look, this is classy. Look at that. I mean, come on. So yeah, a big fan, bigger fan of her now. But yeah, we were on, you and I were both on Jackie there. Or no, we're both on Perez. But I don't know. You'd like to see a girl like this do good, you know? You just do. So we'll see how it goes.
Standing. He keeps it standing. She could probably get a finish. Probably going to have a little punt on the no distance here. You know, because that we almost seen Perez got really lucky in that round three in her last fight because her eye was swelled shut. And they still let her go out there.
She does gas. And, yeah, I wouldn't see. Damn. I mean, she got a pretty good gash right there. Two.
Each
fucked. I don't know how she's still so hot after that. But, yeah, I mean, she's got an ass, too. I can't get enough of it right now, but I'm going to have to pull this out. Pull this out later. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so, yeah, fun stuff. I'm actually, you know, like I said that I really liked Jared's Brito Imavov pick there. I would go ahead and add St. Denis to that, the money line or the finish for St. Denis. That's going to be pretty nice. You might get, like, plus 200 or close to it with that. So, loving that. That's my only addition. Brito Imavov, St. Denis.
For Dana White Contender Series, who'd you like
this week? Yeah, yeah. Here, look. I'll switch over to that real quick because it's an interesting week, man. I really like the first week the most out of all this. But for my picks, I only watched tape on these first two fights. I'm super torn on that first fight. Rose Conejo is a LFA champ, and Alex Steinera has only fought in like kind of lower level regional Brazilian. I almost said British, Brazilian scenes. Jungle fight, things like that. Thinera's pretty good, though. I mean, I think her only loss, I got to check it. It's a UFC girl, Bruna Brazil, right? Not good that it was a guillotine in round three, standing guillotine, I think it was, because Brazil is a striker. But yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be on Consent Chow or however you say it. If the line's super wide, I'm going Thinera. If it's super wide, we're talking minus 400 or more. I'm just going to throw a little bit on Thinera because it's going to be a closer fight than I think the odds tell you. They're both good on the ground. The striking is kind of a wash. So, yeah, I'm going to assume that Rose does come out as a big favorite. So give me Thinera there. Only if it's massive. If it's 300 or something for Rose, I'll jump on Rose. What do you got for that first one?
Staying away from it. I kind of go smart, like Rose, but action on that. It's Rose on short notice. Not too much tape I could find on him either, and that's the fight I did the least research on, too.
Who was... Thinera was supposed to fight Fatima Klein, but then Klein got signed to the UFC. So that would imply, man, that the UFC wants Thinera to lose, right? Because they wanted Klein. So, yeah, maybe that's something to think about. Again, I hope that they line this close. It should be fairly closely lined. But since she, you know, Rose is a champ in LFA, LFA is a great promotion, man. Like, really good feeder organizations, better than Cage Warriors. I think some of the fighters are better than Bellator fighters and PFL fighters, honestly. LFA is high level, I think. Second fight, I know you had an opinion on this. Kevin Vallejos versus Cam Teague. What do you got on this one here?
I did a lot of tape on this fight. I like Kevin Vallejos here. I think he's more technical. I think he's improved since his fight against Gene Silva. And I think he can outpoint Cam Teague here. Now, Cam Teague is good, though. And he's marketable.
You thought so?
And he's fresh. Yeah, I like this guy. He's fun. And
it's
he's
very
cool.
Fun.
I like the guy. He's fun to watch. And he's good on the mic, too.
Okay.
So I think he's going to survive. I think he's going to show a lot of that durability. I think he's just going to walk him down and eat jabs, try to make this a brawl. And Kevin's just going to keep this a technical fight, and he's going to stay on his bicycle. Cam's going to definitely be the one pushing the pace, walking Kevin down. I think Kevin's just going to be the one to deliver the most damage. I think Cam's going to be bleeding at the end, but he's going to win a lot of the fans too, because they're going to put on a good fight. I think just Kevin's going to be the smart IQ guy in there. Even though he's the younger guy, I think he's the more mature fighter here. And I think he has fought a better resume. Not to give that Gene Silva fight, you know, that loss more credit than Cam Teague's finish over Austin Lingo, because he was the first to finish a guy in the UFC that never got finished in the UFC. So you got to give him credit there. He hits sure. hard. And if Kevin Vallejo lets off on the gas at all, similar to the Gene Silva fight, if you get that 2.0, he's done. And pretty much we're laying 350 on Kevin having a good gas tank here. He's obviously live for that early finish. He hits hard and he's quick. And Cam's going to be a little bit slower guy. But Cam's going to be the bigger guy. He's going to be powerful. And he has good cardio, too.
All right.
It's a tough fight. I think the line is a little bit wide. I am going to have a little bit of action on this. I'm going to lay a little bit of juice on Vallejos to win an over 1.5. And that's probably going to be like minus 150. Horrible line, but that's the only spot I like that's safe, in my opinion.
Okay. Was this Austin Lingo fight? Because I watched one and I swore it was either this fight or the next one where it's saying right here 457 in round two. But I saw someone, it was like a, I think a right cross, the dude fell down and then ground and pound, and it was literally with 1 second left. It might have been something else I was watching, but I was super impressed with that. It looked like he was kind of out of the fight. But to your point, this Teague dude, I only watched two of his fights. He blocks punches with his face, dude. Like, this dude gets hit a lot, a lot, a lot. Now, he's got the chin for it. He's never been finished. He's never lost. But, yeah, to your point, I think Vallejos is the more evolved fighter. He's, you know, going the distance with Gene Silva looks so good right now. You know, if you're trying to bet on somebody, so yeah, give me Vallejos all day here. Kind of an easy pick for me. But, yeah, it sounds like I need to do more research on Teague, and maybe he ends up in the UFC too. Francisco Mazzeo versus Kevin Christensen. It's a weird fight. Mazzeo is realistically 2-0. You know, one dude fell and broke his arm basically, and then the other guy like accidentally, like illegally kicked him, I should say. And you said it yourself, and you're a little bit of Italian, aren't you? Don't you got some Italian in you? Dana hates the Italians. Yeah. You said this yourself.
Yeah, he hates them.
I can't confirm that. I have no idea. But if you're seeing something like that, it is interesting. There isn't a lot of good Italians in the UFC. I mean, Marvin Vettori is really the only one. Kevin Christensen's just got a weird style. Or I keep calling him Christensen, Kevin Christian. Weird style, tall man defense. He's 6'7", versus Mazzeo being 6'2". But, I mean, this is such a tough fight to call because I think Christian's probably the more experienced. But he's awkward. He's very weird looking when he fights. I'm just going to go Mazzeo because he's probably, hopefully the money will come more in on Christian and make Mazzeo a bigger dog. But yeah, I got to go Mazzeo here. Not confident. If I didn't bet every fight, like just a little bit, I wouldn't bet this one, but you know, I'll probably have some action. Maybe look at the under. Cause yeah, these guys tend to want to finish, but if it's set at 1.5, fuck that. Yeah. It's probably 2.5. I'll go under there. So yeah, Mazzeo, not confident.
The under 1.5 is minus 200 in that. That's probably the lock on this card. Both of these guys come out like a bat out of hell. I wouldn't be shocked to see it go over, but I think minus 200 is a good line to hit that. I think it should be lined much higher. I think even maybe even punting the under half a round would be live in this fight. These guys really push the pace. They don't waste any time. And I like Mazzeo here. Let me just tell the audience, because I told Ryan this early in the week, you guys have to watch Kevin Christian's last fight in the LFA.
I did.
You know, you have to watch this fight.
Was that
amazing fight. One of the best fights I've seen in a while. This man's aura is up 10,000 after this.
He's got a weird style, though. Am I wrong? Doesn't he have a weird style?
Yeah, but he has a counter-striker style, but he faints well. He just doesn't have the most athletic body, buddy. He really does have the IQ. He has the tall man defense. And in round one, this man was getting cracked. He was winning the fight. He gets cracked, lands on his ass, shits his pants,
Oh, that's who you were talking about.
Gets up, starts winning the rest of the round. Round two starts, he gets a knockout, and then mean mugs the camera like a boss
With
with
shit in his
shit stained
pants.
pants. Yeah, oh my God. Like, it's
Now you're
hard
talking
not to
about this
root for
Miguel
it.
Porto fight.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that as
Amazing.
soon as we're done. I did not watch that one. I watched
It's
a
on
different one.
YouTube, guys. Watch it. If you just look him up, it'll be like an hour long LFA video. Just it's the last fight.
Okay.
Near and you must watch TV right there. So yeah, I know why they signed this guy, Kevin Christian, to Dana White Contender Series. He's entertaining. And so is Mazio, to be honest. This man comes out like a bat out of hell, has a serious cardio problem, also has a wrestling problem as well. Kevin Christian's gonna be the way better grappler here. BJJ black belt. If any double methods, I'm gonna be going Mazio KO, Christian sub. Even though Christian can get a KO here as well. I'm just gonna go. I got Mazio in at +150 early. It opened up at +160. A lot of money coming in on him. He's +125. I see it coming even down to even odds. That's what really I see this fight. Mazio all round one. He's got the power. He's the more naturally athletic fighter here.
Where did he
They're
shit?
both freaks of nature, guys. Mazio's a massive. He's the more natural 205er. Kevin Christian at 6'7", this guy used to fight at lightweight, if you could believe that. So over the years, he's had one fight in the past, 4 years. He's had a big layoff and lots of gaps in his fights as well. But with that said, he's had so much more experience, and he's fought real opponents, guys who've had, UFC. You could just go through his record, go through his opponents, and find some UFC guys. You can find some names that you recognize. But you can't do that with Mazio, in my opinion. So
I'm looking for the
it's a
shit
tough fight.
pants.
This is the 1-800 gambler fight of the card. Be careful with this one. I'm gonna go Mazio. I think he gets the early KO. But I'll have my finger on that live bet on Kevin Christian if he survives that first flurry.
Dude, I'm looking for the shit on the pants and I can't find it. Is it early in the fight when he gets dropped?
Right here, boom, shits his pants, and they when you they show a little bit of a camera view of it during the fight. It
Okay, so it's in round one that he shits his pants.
is in round one. You gotta go back.
Because, yeah, I can't. It's hard to tell because he's wearing black shorts. Right around here? No, because he's in the red.
No,
Maybe
before
that's
this.
why we'll find it later. But, yeah, I mean,
Oh,
you
wait,
could.
no. Right here.
He does feint well. He gets right out of the way of those punches because he does have the reach, so he knows. Oh, okay, so right here he shit. Now, is it like a brown stain that you see?
Yeah, they give the angle right here.
Okay, so he's on bottom. He's got his legs locked behind the dude that's pounding him out here. You know that guy got a good smell of the shit. I mean, I gotta see it. He's
Oh,
getting
wait,
beat up
maybe
on the
it's later
ground.
on in the round.
Oh, right
It's
there.
somewhere in round one.
You sure it's not a shadow?
It is. There it was. Did you see that?
I mean, I wish it came out and like leaked down his leg or something. And then, yeah, we can see what he does after he gets the finish. I mean, he's a big dude. He kind of has a Jamal Hill build too, like not super athletic looking physically. Yeah, that dude's probably trying to keep his distance because he doesn't want to smell that shit. So that was a clean counter. I feel weird. I'm just watching this dude's ass, trying to look for the shit. All right, just dropped him, finished the fight with shit in his pants, comes over. I mean, I can't really see the shit, but I believe you. That's good stuff. I mean, that's probably a first. Someone shits
I'll
their pants.
Full view when you have time. I promise you'll see it.
Okay. So yeah, next fight, we'll run through these real quick. Daniel Frunza versus Vadim Kutiev. I think that Vadim wins. Just think it's a mismatch. Daniel Frunza doesn't seem like he's great. 8-2 versus 17-1. So obviously the experience goes to the Belarus fighter. But yeah, I think this is an easy setup for Vadim. Probably gets the knockout early. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going with the more experienced guy here. Watch some tape. He's not the lock. You know, he could get cracked. Sure. But he's going to fight for your money. Rightful favorite. Good experience against some good guys. And I think it's overdue that he's in the UFC. You know, you don't see him bringing in too many old guys, so it's kind of now or nothing. So I'm going to go over Dean gets his UFC contract.
Cool. And then main event, got a Ukrainian versus an American here, Bailey Schoenfelder versus Danilo Voivodkin. Okay, I think I nailed it. But yeah, easy spot for me here. I'm going with the American. These Ukrainian guys on the regional scene don't fight the best competition. Danilo's fighting some very out of shape Ukrainians. He's fought one dude that looked like he weighed 400 pounds if he weighed an ounce. Super out of shape. Void, I'm just calling Danilo. Danilo seems to be good for that scene. But Bailey's, I think, fought the higher level of competition by a mile. And I think he makes this look fairly easy here, too.
I did a lot of tape on this, actually. I did a lot of tape on Danilo. It was hard. It's hard diving into some of these guys and, you know, going through the pits of hell and the deep web to find all this tape. But Danilo is actually a hidden pretty good guy. He has some experience. He's actually more experienced than Bailey. You wouldn't know, but he's actually a kickboxer, and he's had some good fights at kickboxing. Some of his tape, some of it was bad. And don't get me wrong, all of his regional scene in the MMA is absolute garbage. He fought way better competition in kickboxing. That's why he's blowing through these guys. He's fought some good guys in kickboxing. He's fought the number 8 kickboxer in Glory. Whoever's ranked number 8, that's the guy he fought, and I was like pretty impressed.
Did he win?
He kept the fight close. 5. No, he lost, but he lost a decision. And he was he's also amateur combat sambo champion as well, so he's got some hidden wrestling. Problem is that he had a knee injury in a fight, and he looked horrible in the fight. He didn't even look like the same guy as I've seen in some other tape of him. And I watched the interview. He said, yeah, I had a knee injury, and I guess he had to go in for surgery for that, but that's not something you want to really hear when you're going up against a wrestler like Bailey. But Bailey, on the other hand, this line's wide. This line's wide, bro. It's honestly an auto bet on Danilo. Just because if Bailey doesn't wrestle, he's done, in my opinion. He's done. He's horrible on the feet. He's horrible. He's green on the feet. He's if he does not get a takedown, it's going to look bad.
Okay.
Similar to like a Claudio Puelles versus like Dan Hooker. You know, it's just one guy is going to be a fish out of water. Love the under here. I think Danilo will destroy him on the feet if it stays there for a while. Bailey does not have a good gas tank at all. And I think it's just something to do with these football players. You know, do these football players do well in the UFC? It's like they make it there, but then they don't do well. I think he could get by this test. He is not UFC material. Most of these guys on this card, except for a few, are not UFC material. You know, it feels like a filler card, late minute card, but, you know, less than 50% are UFC material on this card. Neither of these two are. Yeah, go watch Bailey's fight, and I think he had a fight in Bellator or LFA, and that just stayed on the feet for too long, and it was scary. And he was a huge favorite in that, and we're probably going to have that same spot in this fight. There's probably going to be some close strikes on the feet, and this fight's going to be closer than what the odds say. Minus 600 on Bailey is just an absolute stay away.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know the odds.
Yeah, it's crazy wide. The no distance at minus 600, can't bet that. But the under 1.5, wouldn't mind touching that. I guess Danilo could extend it, and then Bailey could be the one surviving. I could see that. But I'd take a shot on Danilo at plus 460, maybe even get your live bet ready, because if he survives round one, it's all him. It's all him. Bailey does not have the gas tank past round one. So it's Bailey round one or bust, in my opinion.
Okay. I like it. Well, there you go. You got some free contender series leans as well, and not just UFC. So, yeah, fun stuff. This isn't going to come out before Monday Night Football. Otherwise, I'd drop some picks for that, but should be getting this out before Tuesday evening when the contender series starts, hopefully. Definitely will be out on audio. But yeah, fun stuff, man. Good luck on the card for everyone listening, and hopefully we make some money, man. Football's been a little rough to me, so I'm hoping that we can make some money back with the two fights this week. But good luck, everybody. We'll see you next week. Watch the video if you like doing that on Profit Picks YouTube. Go to Teep Picks for some free picks. You can always hit up Alex for his services as well. And keep listening to conspiracy shit on my feed too. But until next time, guys, good luck on this one, and then we'll see you for the next card as well.